This is Glenn Helzer with World of Radio 1435. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, especially shortwave. On this edition, recorded November 19th, ailing transmitters from Bulgaria, Egypt, and Goa. More Canadians moving to FM. Beijing transmitters back on. Korean clandestines. Future plans from Madagascar. DX and station news from Mexico, Nigeria, Sudan. Radio wars in Nicaragua. St. Helena successful. Turkey's new website and the propagation outlook. Several people are now getting quick email QSLs from Bhutan Broadcasting Service. The address to use, according to Anker Peterson in Denmark, is dwangk@gmail.com. That's the individual Dorji Wangchuk, head of transmission. But first, you must hear BBS yourself on shortwave 6035. Sign on is around midnight UT when many people hear it, or if you have a darkness path, more or less, around 1400. They have some English during that hour. Here's another QSL tip concerning Radio Senado in Brazil on 5990. In HCDX, Arthur Fernandez Llorella in Spain reports getting a fully detailed email confirmation, but they also promised a QSL by P-mail. The address used was radio@senado.gov.br. Radio Bulgaria has been having a lot of transmitter problems, especially notable here on 15700 for the Bulgarian broadcast between 13 and 15 UT. During the past couple of weeks, it's been on the air, some days putting out spikes up to 30 kilohertz away, other days missing when presumably they were working on it or they just couldn't get it on the air, and then back on with a different problem as of November 19th, with a big stability problem. There was a continuous rapid warble on the carrier. You could tell easily if you turned on the BFO, much worse than the one we get from WINB on both its frequencies. And you could also hear some of this warbling listening in AM. But the classical music was still coming through fairly well, although undermodulated. No telling what will happen next to one of the major transmitters. They're only using two most of the time at Radio Bulgaria. Bernie O'Shea in Ottawa says that his local time station, CHU, was missing from all three frequencies for a while on November 12th and other times just from one of the frequencies. We hope this means they're getting close to completing the installation of their new transmitter so they can get off 7335, which has more and more broadcast interference, and on to the projected frequency 7850. Dean McIntyre in Alberta keeps track of all the CRTC actions involving broadcast stations, which in Canada mainly concerns longtime AM stations abandoning that band and going to FM. Among the approvals this week, although it'll be a while before they actually happen, CFCW 790 in Camrose, Alberta, has been approved to change to a different AM frequency. That's not in the moving to FM category, but it's notable because it is unusual. They want to move to 840 kilohertz, where they'll have less interference. Thanks also to Ricky Leong for that. However, Dean points out, before they can move to 840, the Alberta stations on 830 and 850 have to move to F. And among the stations which are applying to move directly from AM to FM, yet another CBC outlet, the one in Windsor, Ontario, CBE 1550, wants to leave that frequency and go to FM 97.5. CBE is the last remaining CBC station many listeners in eastern North America can hear on AM, including across the border in the U.S. More move to FM applications. CHLW 1310 in St. Paul, Alberta wants to go to FM 97.7. CKVH 1020 in High Prairie, Alberta wants to move to FM 93.5. CJNL 1230 wants to move to 101 FM. However, primarily in the West, but not exclusively, some vacated AM frequencies are getting new applicants. 700 used to be CKRD in Red Deer, Alberta, but now there's an application for a new AM station with 50 kilowatts in Calgary on that frequency. And in Ontario, there are applications for 1350 and 960. In Vancouver, CKBD closed down on 600 kilohertz, and there was a bit of confusion about what would happen. At first, it was thought the frequency would be open, but although that station is no longer heard on AM, the frequency stayed on the air, carrying the peak parallel to FM 100.5. Seiichi Hasegawa in Japan tells us that the transmitter site in Beijing of CNR1, which is designated by the number 572 and which had been off the air from numerous shortwave frequencies, reactivated from 2000 UT on November 12th. Frequencies such as 4460 and 5030. Too bad, especially about 5030, which, while China was off, was clear for Malaysia Sarawak. Enjoyed by Ron Howard in California and Nigel Pimlet in Alberta. Ola Alm in Sweden also notes this and says that since November 16th, Xinjiang is back on its winter schedule. They use different frequencies. 3950, 5060 in Chinese, 3990 and 4980 in Uyghur, 4330 in Kazakh, and 4500 in Mongolian. In Hardcore DX, Karl Hunzik in Czechia says that there have been some changes in the CNR1 schedule. No longer is there a break on Tuesday afternoons from 06 to 0850 UT. And furthermore, the usual close down time of 1735 seems to be a thing of the past. They were still running at 1840. One of the easiest to hear transatlantic medium wave signals in North America is 1134 kilohertz from Croatia. However, bad news from Dragan Lekic in Serbia. He says, I've read on a Serbian web forum that 1134 in Zadar, 600 kilowatts with Voice of Croatia, will in the very near future stop broadcasting in analog. They're waiting for a new DRM transmitter, and they will install it. It'll broadcast only in the DRM mode. Radio Cairo in Egypt is another station, still on shortwave, but with very poor technical standards. Terry Wilson in Michigan measured one of their frequencies at 2044 UT on 6289.73 instead of 6290. Being off frequency isn't too bad. However, the Radio Wadi El Nil service on 9250 had a rumbling carrier when heard November 14th before 1755, says Dave Valko, Pennsylvania, in Hardcore DX. And in DX Listening Digest, Denis Gouveia in Sergipe, Brazil, was listening to 9280, the French service of Radio Cairo, at 2048 UT. At least it's supposed to be French, but he says the audio does not exist despite a strong signal. And he even recorded the non-existent audio. I checked the North American service on 7535 at midnight 49 UT and found it very undermodulated. I could barely recognize it as in Spanish. And presumably the same was the case for English after 0200. What's happening with evangelist Tony Alamo, who's heard via Equatorial Guinea and via WWCR and WINB? It appears that he remains in jail as a flight risk, but that doesn't keep him from broadcasting, or at least someone playing old recordings of his broadcasts. And more of the children at his compound in Arkansas have been taken into protective custody. His trial date has been put off until February 2nd to give the defense time to prepare. Wolfgang Duschel in Germany observes that for many weeks, 9820 via the Goa Panaji transmitter site of All India Radio suffers from very bad audio quality, 1245 to 1545 UT, terrible signals, especially during spoken broadcasts. He thinks the Tal Tomcast transmitters from 1992 have come to the end of their life. They produce a wobbling or oscillating audio signal. Two signal peaks, plus and minus 2 kilohertz from the nominal frequency. And he hopes that All India Radio Engineering in Delhi will take note of it. Rick Lewis confirms the item last week that the powers that be at Sirius XM have gone ahead and put World Radio Network on XM 135 and made quite a few other changes. The CBC networks were not moved to XM and those remain on Sirius only. Takahito Akabayashi in Japan tells us that from next March, the Japanese transmitter site at Nazaki, north of Tokyo, will be closed down. It's had less and less business. There are only two stations broadcasting via it, the Japan Meteorological Agency and Tokyo Volmet. Both those services will be moved quite far away to the Kagoshima Fishery Transmitting Station on Kyushu Island. Meanwhile, they'll be carrying out some tests on several of the frequencies at certain designated times before the final move. Dr. Peterson in Denmark has been hearing some of the clandestine services for North Korea on 9965 between 13 and 14 UT when the transmitter site is presumed to be Taiwan. During the first half hour, North Korean Reform Radio ending at 1400 on a Friday was Furosato no Kaze in Japanese, and starting at 1332 on Saturday was Imbon Ebaram, or the Korean version of Nippon no Kaze. Interesting thing about 9965, that frequency is available for KHBN, or more correctly, T8WH on Palau, all the way from 06 to 18 UT. However, during this 1 hour, it's used from Taiwan instead. This is no doubt coordinated since both of those are brokered by VTC. Seichi Hasegawa of NDXC in Japan sends the latest schedule. As of November 17th of some of these broadcasts, Taiwan is one site used, Palau another, depending on the time, and also Darwin, Australia, Tashkent, Uzbekistan, and even Yerevan, Armenia. Furosato no Kaze, in Japanese, is via Taiwan 9965 at 1333 to 1357, and then via Darwin on 9880 at 1430 to 15, and then via Taiwan on 9780 at 16 to 1630. Nippon no Kaze is at 15 to 1530 on 9690 via Darwin. Now, despite the name, the ones I'm mentioning now are in the Korean language. 1530 to 1557 on 9965 Palau, and 17 to 1730 9820 Taiwan. Free North Korea Radio has changed time to an hour later, 11 to 12 on 11750 via Taiwan, then 14 to 16, 7585 via Tashkent, and 19 to 21, 7530 via Armenia. The announcers at Voice of Africa, Libya, don't even know what frequency they're on. The English broadcast at 14 to 16 UT on November 18th at 1531. I heard them claiming to be on 17860, but they were actually on 17725, while Channel Africa in Swahili was on 17860. At least Libya got their other frequency correct, 21695. The November Church Bulletin of World Christian Broadcasting has the latest construction news about their Madagascar project. That's the organization already running KNLS in Alaska. They say a sesquimile road and a sesquimile of fence has been built and a staff home, guardhouse, generator building, and a few tool buildings have been constructed. The transmitter building, which will contain three 100,000-watt transmitters, is almost completed. Those three will soon be shipped to Madagascar, and from the diesel-powered generators will emanate the broadcast from the antennas that are also being built. The towers are up, and the wire will begin to be stretched in January. Now, I remember that original plans were for four transmitters with so-called FM-like DRM capability. There was also a report that because of hurricanes in the Gulf, the shipment of the transmitters were delayed, but they were not damaged. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, number 1435. Check our website for much more info, worldofradio.org. Your contributions always welcome to WORADIO at yahoo.com or P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702, USA. Standard disclaimer. Here's more about the reactivated Merida Yucatan station. Thanks to Julian Santiago Diaz de Bonilla in the DF, who's been in contact by phone with the engineers at the station. It's still only 250 watts on 6105 kilohertz. They have a dipole cut to a quarter wave, 12 meters or 6 meters on a side at a height of 18 meters, oriented north-south. They had been operating 24 hours a day, but more recently they're supposedly only on the air between 1100 and 0500 UT. Although I heard something on the frequency which sure sounded like them, although they were fading in and out a lot, in the middle of the night around 0730. I was also hearing a discussion in Spanish on that frequency until covered by Voice of America Philippines in Chinese at 1400. Julian says one of the email addresses for reports is bernardo@rasayucatan.com. RASA is the abbreviation for the group that owns the station. The civil war in Nicaragua may be long over, but it seems there are still some violent interchanges between the different factions, especially concerning radio stations. Radio Corporacion says it was put off the air by some kind of sabotage, interfering with its AM 540 and FM 97.5 frequencies. It's not entirely clear just what kind of trouble they had, whether it was jamming or something more physical. Thanks to Yumer Gaviria in Colombia for stories about this, also Jose Miguel Romero in Spain and Marty Delfin. There was also interference against stations which criticized the government, Radio 15 de Septiembre being another one. You may recall that was also the name of an outright clandestine during the Civil War, but it's been operating legally for many years now. And another station which has been hit is Radio Darío. Last week I referred to the new broadcast to Nigeria called ASO Radio, ASO, as a clandestine. However, it isn't really. It is one of those target broadcasts from outside the country. Patrick Robich in Austria says it's more likely that than a clandestine since they are active on FM within Nigeria. There's quite a bit about the station at their website, www.asoradioonline.com. Looking at it, I can see that it's been set up by former government members. However, Jeff White says it is government-owned in Abuja, Nigeria. He says it may be a limited liability company, but the major shareholders seem to be government entities. Anyhow, it's certainly not a clandestine. Jim Wilder in Washington State tells us that 90-meter signals were back with a vengeance from across the Pacific Saturday, November 15th, around 1000 UT. He was hearing Radio East New Britain booming in on 3385 as well as most of the others in Papua New Guinea, as well as North Korea. Kai Ludwig in Germany has been inspecting the new Voice of Russia schedule and analyzes it this way. Apparently, the Samara site is still active, but probably only with 250-kilowatt transmitters added at a later point, no longer with the old equipment. Transmissions via Ukrainian facilities have been officially canceled October 31st, maybe already from October 24th. Grigoryopol is using medium wave 621 for Russian international radio with 500 kilowatts. 5830 via Tajikistan in the Slovak language is in use until December 31st only. And note the power levels for Moscow frequencies, 200 kilowatts, reduces the list of possible origins down to the Taldom or Kurovskaya sites, since the other one, Lesnoy, only has 250 kilowatt transmitters. Radio St. Helena Day 2008 was quite successful, at least in North America, if not in Europe. It was November 15th, between 2000 and 2345 UT, approximately. There were many reports from Latin America, North America, and Asia as well, although Wolfgang Büschel in Germany says he just could not pull it in. The propagation wasn't working. There were some problems with the transmission. When they were starting the North American portion at 2230 UT, the signal disappeared, or maybe it stayed on with greatly reduced power. They were having some problem, and I know some people gave up, but if they had kept listening, they would have heard it come back about 2245 and stay on later than planned for another full hour. 11092.5 kilohertz. You can read many of these reports compiled in DX Listening Digest 8118 via worldoverradio.com. There is yet another news service aimed at Sudan. This is the one supported by Radio Netherlands. They came up with a new name for it, Radio Dabanga, D-A-B-A-N-G-A. It launched Saturday, November 15th, for the Darfur region in Sudanese Arabic and local languages at 0429 to 0527 UT via Madagascar on 13800. And it's also via Germany on 7315. David Koenig says it can be heard more easily if you have the proper equipment via Hotbird satellite, and also streamed via the Saut al-Alam webpage at World Radio Network. Radio Damascus fan Chris Janssen in Belgium says that they have overhauled their website. It looks great and attractive, although it's mostly in Arabic, and they have resumed a file of their German programs, which you can listen to via the website, but not yet the other languages, it seems. Not yet English, which is still on the air at 21 to 22 UT on 9330 and via satellite. By the way, I've noticed that WBCQ has adjusted its frequency much closer to 9330, so now it's under the undermodulated carrier from Syria. Could even help demodulate WBCQ's compatible upper sideband rather than put a heterodyne on it. Ron Howard in California has been listening again to the English program from Lhasa, which the Chinese imperialists have the nerve to call Holy Tibet. It's at 1630 to 17 UT. Among the many frequencies, he's hearing it on 6200. Although their English is hard to understand. As they've been promising for some weeks, the Voice of Turkey has revamped its website. Official dedication was to be with a big ceremony in Ankara on November 20th, but it's already up. You'll find it at www.trt.net.tr. That's the same URL as before, but it's much different now. In fact, it's in 30 languages, including a lot more content in English than they used to have. In fact, it seems they have ambitions to be a worldwide news portal. Furthermore, you can listen to the complete English broadcasts, originally aired at 13:30 and at 19:30 UT, although I'm not sure how long they'll be archiving them. In Cumbria X, Bruce Churchill in California has some news about Radio Dynamis 4750 in Uganda. He says they're back in operation after antenna repairs, according to email from Marty McLaughlin at Bible Voice Broadcasting. Scheduled 15 to 19 UT, one of the announcers is named Cynthia, who apparently is developing quite a listening audience, and it's getting out better than before, according to reports received from throughout Uganda. In Portugal, Carlos Gonçalves believes he's picked them up from 1807 until sign-off at 1900 in vernacular with African pops and abruptly closing at that hour. What would have been the 100th birthday of Alastair Cook is being celebrated with some special programming on BBC, Radio 4, BBC 7, and even on PBS. Masterpiece, Sunday evening, November 23rd, is the unseen Alastair Cook. The far right is concerned about the Obama administration possibly bringing back the fairness doctrine and applying it to talk radio. Well, the far right and the far religious right have grossly abused their free speech in the lack of a fairness doctrine by broadcasting the most vile, one-sided tripe for many years. If there had been any voluntary fairness on the part of radio programmers and station owners, the argument against an institutionalized fairness doctrine might now carry some weight. As it is, the time is long overdue for the pendulum to swing the other way. So no one will air anything controversial. Begone, Rush, and your ilk. We can still get all the opinions we can possibly need via other media than those required to serve the public interest. Those few programmers and owners who genuinely want to serve the public interest within a new fairness doctrine will find a way to do it. For example, they could run right-wing and left-wing talk shows in alternation. Oh, in case you're wondering, yes, that was an editorial by yours truly. There is an excellent article in Milwaukee magazine called The Secrets of Talk Radio, revealing just how fraudulent it really is. You'll find a link to it in DX Listening Digest 8118, or maybe just if you go to MilwaukeeMagazine.com. Thanks to Eric Flodin for that tip. Radio Republica, the Cuban clandestine, is not only on shortwave, but they've also been heard on 1620, namely via WDHP in the U.S. Virgin Islands, which in the past has also carried, and maybe still does, Radio Marti. Jack Weber in the U.K. recorded an ID from them, which we could understand as Radio Republica with their characteristic theme music. The propagation outlook from Boulder, issued November 18th. ANK is peaking at 12 and 3 on November 25th, 15 and 4 on December 5th, but, as usual, down to 5 and 2 most of the dates in between through December 15th. Solar flux varying only slightly, with a small peak up to 70 expected December 8th and 9th. And so concludes World of Radio 1435. Glenn Hauser hoping you've enjoyed the program and will hear me again next week.